I have a rather personal question to start with. Who here moisturises? I knew that Mr. Dove would. I know that. Not many people admitting to it, but I use polyfiller myself. I'm careful about these using these substances because a long time ago I taught in a boarding school of boys, and the 13-year-olds had an aversion to washing, as some 13-year-olds are wont to do, and I sort of got used to the smell, but older boys started refusing to come into my classroom following after these 13-year-olds. So I tried all sorts of ways in which to get these boys to change. You know, I said, I taught them about Tudor sanitation and other things. It made no impression at all until in the depths of winter, and this was in Perthshire in Scotland, I threatened to teach them through the window, there being outside. And the response was that they all took to brute aftershave, but with no underlying change. And I can tell you it was worse. And when we come to consider our reading from the Gospel today in the context of the commissioning of our pioneers to be those who are the first to form the Christ Church congregation in North Ely, when we think about anointing, putting things onto ourselves, there's no anointing that can work with us unless the underlying, everything about us, changes from within. And we have confidence that that change in us, that anointing by the Holy Spirit, is possible because, as we've heard in the Gospel again, as Luke repeats again and again about the person of Jesus and others, is that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit when he emerges from being baptized and from his temptation by the devil in the desert. We are only here today, it's only possible for us to commission Steve and the others to go into North Ely because the true anointed one has come into our midst, the one who faced all the temptations that we as human beings face, you know, all the ways in which our pride and our fear and our vainglory, all of those things, Jesus has faced and looked the possibility of the heights of human power and said, no, I will not have any truck with this. I will not put myself in the place of my Father. And he emerges, in a sense, having set the context for all of his ministry and all that's to come leading through to Good Friday itself. The context is set, but he comes with a reputation, a growing reputation, people really excited about this new rabbi. Even though some will be saying, well, he's just Joseph's boy, isn't he? We know him. What's special about him? But those voices, for a time, overwhelmed by the attractiveness of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, emerging from the desert. And he comes into his home country, this group going to North Ely, comes into his own country, and he goes into the synagogue to worship like any other pious Jew. And if we understand that what we're doing today as we gather at the Lord's table, as we go out from here, is that like Jesus, we are wrapped, if you like, wrapped in the assurance of the Scriptures, just as Jesus absolutely drenched in the Hebrew Bible that shapes him. So we too are, like Jesus, a people who are drawn week by week to this place, just as Jesus comes to the synagogue in Nazareth, to be renewed by the Scriptures, to be renewed by the story of God's work of salvation in our midst, and comes to worship, to pray with others. That, of course, people can be believers on their own, but to be a Christian means to have this longing to be engaged in worship and life and service with others. Ours is a social religion. And Jesus comes as the Anointed One in the midst of his own people. And you can imagine the kind of energy, the electricity in the synagogue that morning when people are aware of Jesus having this reputation, this growing reputation as a rabbi, as a teacher of the good news. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? And he comes into that setting, and he comes into the public space in the synagogue, and he unrolls the scroll, and he reads this passage from Isaiah. Now, a number of commentators on the New Testament, on the Gospels, say that this is evidence of Jesus conscious of his calling, of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, of the confidence of his Father who has called him my beloved Son. He is the one who comes to say, this is the manifesto of the Anointed One. This is the manifesto of the Christ. And heard first by those people in Nazareth. And it'd be interesting to know what the manifesto of St. Mary's is in the service of this Anointed One. What's the manifesto of St. Mary's in terms of the call that you share, live, and offer to others as the core of the Christian faith? What is it that you'd want people to know about you that makes you different? Not different from other Christians, but different from the within the community that you serve. Now, one of the things that Jesus says, of course, is that he says this prophecy, the prophecy of Isaiah, this vision of the completion of all things in the Messiah, this prophecy was fulfilled right there and then in his person speaking to those people. So we are people who also, I would hope, live and proclaim the fulfillment of prophecy, that we live and proclaim the truth that God has already accomplished in Christ, that all that we say and do is framed by our being cross-shaped people who have complete confidence that our sin, the world's need, is all caught up in the victory of Jesus on the cross. And that we are already a new creation in his resurrection. And that we're people, therefore, who have confidence that what we say in Christ's name and what we do in his name is fundamental and transformative. It transforms us and then makes us contagious in the way in which we serve this community of Ely. It's also radical and revolutionary because I'm now, people say, well, Bishop, it's very hard for you to look that radical when you wear funny clothes and sit in the House of Lords. And quite soon I shall be going to the state opening of Parliament and I'll be wearing ermine for the first time. And I need, perhaps therefore, more than anybody to be reminded that when Jesus issues his manifesto, he says, of course, look to signs and wonders. There will be miracles. You will see the blind see. People who can't speak will find their voice. And of course, lots of people will follow Jesus beyond this Nazareth episode, will follow him because he is a healer and a wonder worker. But he says, most importantly, that what he's really come for, more than anything else, is to turn the world the right way up, because the people who count most with him are the people who most don't count in the world. So the people that Jesus cares for most are the poor, the people who are left out, people whom we might leave out. And the great thing about opening the doors before Pentecost, and the plans to transform this building so that those doors are wide all week long, is that people who otherwise would never dream of coming in here, would never dream of thinking they'd even be welcome, find their way in here, because the most important bit of Jesus' manifesto, and he does this again when John's disciples come from John in prison to say, "Are you really the one?" And Jesus says a whole list of things, that of signs, but the first thing on the list in Luke this morning and the last thing on the list in Matthew is, "And the poor will receive the good news." And what we're most about is good news. And that means, of course, that we're Christians who, it doesn't mean when we walk around with, you know, there's some kind of Christians walking around with a thick smile on their faces, because everything must be wonderful all the time. Well, actually, Christians are people who live unashamedly in the real world, with all of its pains and griefs, walking alongside people in real pain and in real fear. But we do so not that to deny the reality of those things, but to believe they can be transformed in the power of the Anointed One, the power of the Christ. And that means that when that we, living that life with this confidence, become like those first Christians that we heard being, that their life being described in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Be very interested to see, alongside the manifesto of St. Mary's, if other people came to observe you and wrote an Acts of the Apostles, St. Mary's and Christ Church Ely. Because what evidence would people see of your being the people who meet together to pray and to break the bread together, and a community which God is increasing in number day by day. And the invitation for our pioneers is to go and form a new base for church, a new place of proclamation, and to be like those first Christians, because those first Christians, as we heard in that reading, they were still worshipping in the temple, they were still connected with iconic buildings like this. They were deeply steeped in the worship of Israel, but they also met in homes and in other places to live the fact that although they were caught up in the continuity of God's love, something special and new had happened to them to transform them, and that life was never going to be the same because they'd accepted the call from Jesus in the power of the Spirit to be different and to take new risks. So when we commissioned our pioneers this morning, one of the key things was to say how Christchurch was going to be a collaborative and organic element within the Ely team. That when we say we're commissioning you, Steve, and others to go off, you're allowed back. It's not that we're saying ta-ra and goodbye. We're saying we're sending you, but you're still part of us. And that there will be, and Christchurch people will be led into new forms of worship. They won't have, for a lot of the time, won't have the comfort and structure provided by settled church here, but you can come back. And just as people here at St. Mary's need to go and learn from you what it is to take those risks and to live beyond the boundaries, so we expect your comeback to be fed with us and to be reminded that we're one family. If you're talking about the family of God, you're not leaving the family, you're just extending the family of Christ. And I was saying earlier on that when I was preaching in America a while ago, a gift I was given, I was in the Midwest, and I was presented a book at the end of this worship I was leading, and I was told in advance, the minister said, Bishop, he said, we want to give you a gift of Western theology. And I thought this was you know, come to the Midwest to be given St. Augustine or St. Thomas Aquinas. No, it was a book of the theology of the Wild West. And essentially, it was about pioneers and settlers. And it included, one of the things that came up in the conversation, this minister told the story about he longed for the day when he could, you know, people arrive for church on a Sunday morning and they'd find the door locked with a sign from him saying, "You practice long enough, now go and do it." But this, in this Wild West theology, you have pioneers and settlers. But of course, as you go on reflecting on this, you find out, of course, that the people who are now settlers were once pioneers. And that we'd hope that as time goes on, who knows, there might be a building that looks like a church, that attracts people and is seen as a symbol of the church's presence in North Ely. It may be that that doesn't happen. But either way, we're looking to establish and root in the power of God, to root Christian community in North Ely, that everyone who lives there will know about and will know is there for them. So all of us, if in the end Christchurch becomes settlers, that means here at St. Mary's, we're not let off the hook by sending our friends. We're not let off the hook from being pioneers right here. And I pray for that pioneering spirit in the whole church. If the church is to thrive and grow into the future, then all of us are called. So it's back to this thing about anointing. Because if we are people who live the reality in the world, in all of its challenges, live the reality that we can all be anointed because we are being changed day by day from within by the presence of Christ. If we know that we live the victory of Christ, then we too are anointed and sent. We too are the people who are sent to preach the good news to the poor. And as we pray for our sisters and brothers, for this cross-generational group of people, children and adults together, going on with our blessing and in the name of Christ, we pray that this event today will be a marker of how all of us are going to be changed to be Christians who always look beyond the door to the opportunities that the Anointed One is beckoning us into. Amen.